sing my faith all the day long. This is my star, and this is my Savior all the day. Perfect submission. Say that line for me. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture. Visions of wrath. Echoes of mercy. The mercy whispers. This is my story. This is my story. And this is my song. I'm just praising my Savior all the day. This is my story. This is my song. Praise. Take off your seats. Thank God. All the day long. I have a story. I have a story. I have a song. Praising. Savior all the day long. I have a story. I have a song. Praising my Savior. Oh, all the day long. This is Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this wonderful day. God, we ask you now to bind everything in the atmosphere that would be disruptive, distractive. Oh God, even now, we know you're able to do it. Break every yoke and destroy the work of the oppressor. God, speak a word into our hearts as well as into our lives today. A word that will lift, a word that will liberate, a word that will bring us to a deeper love for you. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Take this, your vessel servant, out of self and hide me behind the man Christ. Till only he is seen, only he is heard. God, have your way on today. I'm giving you glory for who you are. I'm giving you praise for who you are. God, we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, oh God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, heavenly dove. Oh God, help us right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you right now. We thank you right. Somebody needs a new story. Somebody needs a new song, God. Help them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the saints of the Most High God shouted glory. Come on, shout glory again. Praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my soul, and this is, I'm just praising all the day long. This is, and this, I'm just praising my Savior all the day. And God be praised from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the very same. And we thank him on this evening. And we give him praise. Turn with me to the book of going out called Exodus. Amen. The book of going out. Exodus, the third chapter. Praise God. Exodus, the book of going out. God continues as he's already have blessed us, not just throughout today, but throughout our journey thus far. If he doesn't do anything else in our lives, he's done enough to validify, to validate that he is God and that he's able to do anything but fail. And we ought to give him praise right now. We ought to thank him right now. Third chapter of Exodus, and there's a very familiar text. Most of you who sat under this preacher for over the years will attest to the fact that this is one of my favorite preachments. And for those of you who may have never dealt with this text, I want to encourage you to put yourself in the text. Don't disconnect yourself from the text. But I want you to see yourself in this text. Because you have to understand that wherever you are in your journey, whatever you're going through adversarially, God wants to use you as a partner in your and a participant in your deliverance. God is kind. And that's the approach I want to take with this text. I've never taken this approach before, but I want you to look at the third chapter, and I want you, for the sake of time, look at the third chapter. And I want you to look at verse 7. Then the Lord told him, I'm in the new literal translation version of the Bible. The Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. You must lead them, my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Right there, the narrator presents to us what I'd like to call one of his divine imperatives. There comes a time when things become so unbearable, not only in your life, but in the lives of other people, that God says to you, you must. Moses left Egypt under some mitigating circumstances. He himself, as many of you know, left Egypt on some unfriendly terms. He is a fugitive. He is on the run. He reached the place of Midian as his place of refuge, a place where he was able to make himself comfortable from the threatening hand of Pharaoh. Even though he did not want to be in Midian, Midian was all he had offered to him. And he was able to make good out of a rough situation. He had to decrease. He had to humble himself that he might lead and live a life conventional and, if you will, of comfort for himself. The reason I make that statement, because it's hard to go down low when you've been sitting so high. When you've been sitting in a high place for so long. But you end up at the place in which you are sitting high does not jive with your convictions. And you have to make a decision to hold the seat or move to a place where one is satisfied with oneself. You can sometimes hold an office, hold a position that you're really not satisfied with. Not because the position itself or the title, but what is demanded of you in the position. See, as long as he stayed in the position he had in Egypt, he had to be a part of the oppressing hand of Pharaoh against his own people. So much so that the Bible says when he saw an Egyptian taskmaster abusing one of the slaves, of the Hebrew slaves, Moses slew the taskmaster, took his life, buried him in a shallow grave in Egypt, fled for his life, made a decision. Nobody chased him out. He made a decision after having killed the Egyptian taskmaster. It's now time for me to leave because things have gotten too bad. Now I'm taking people's lives because I don't like what I'm seeing and how people are being treated. So he had to make a decision whether to stay in that seat, try to stay in that seat, or surrender the seat and save his life, save his morality, save his integrity, save his character. But he knew it wouldn't have been an easy task, but he had to make the choice whether to leave all of the glitter and glamour of Egypt to make his way through the desert place, the wilderness of want, the desert, if you will, of trial and trouble. Moses said, I'd rather walk through the desert, live in the desert, than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If I got to sell my soul to hold a seat, keep the seat, I'm on my way. And every now and then, you got to make up your mind whether you want to sell, whether you, rather not, you want to sell your soul or save your soul. Whether you want to trade off who you are for what you want to have. So many of us flunked that test because we're so creature-minded, so materialistic-minded, we're so people-oriented, we want everybody to like us. Many of us are willing to do anything under the sun just to hold a good spot with people knowing our name. But Moses said, I'd rather go to the place where owls hoot and toot than to stay in this place where it's a cesspool of trial, test, and trouble. I'd rather be in the desert. I'd rather be in the wilderness. I'd rather walk through Sinai's sun-scorched peninsula than to stay under Pharaoh's corrupt, if you will, system of things. And so the Bible says he made his way out of Egypt. After slaying the taskmaster who was abusing the slave, the text says Moses made his mind to leave when he was identified by one of the Hebrew slaves who said to him in a season of correction, How dare you chastise us when the other day you killed one of your own? Moses decided then this is not a good thing. If the slaves know about it, it won't be long before the news get to Pharaoh. Loose lips can sink ships. Moses knew then, I got to go. I got to hightail it out of here, because this thing that was done in the secluded area of my life is now made, is making its way to mainstream. And it's a good thing to know when it's time to leave. It's a good thing to know when it's time to pack up. It's a good thing to know when you're served well, when your season is over. It's a good time. It's a good thing to know when your welcome is worn out. It's a good thing to know that it's better to be away and live and to stay and die. The Bible says he made his way out of Horeb, out of Egypt, and on his way down through the Sinai Peninsula, made his way across the Red Sea somehow to get on the other side of life. But it would not be a picnic for him. It would not be a party for him. It would prove to be a parched pilgrimage. The Bible says he found himself in the Sinai Peninsula, in the land of Midian. There, Moses is exhausted from the journey. And some maidens and, if you will, the daughter of a priest shows up at a watering hole, and they supply Moses with what he needs to refresh himself. The Bible says he is met by Jethro, or he meets Jethro. As he meets Jethro, Jethro offers him a job, but it's a job that's beneath what he's used to. But he also knows a half a loaf is better than none. He also understands that whatever Jethro offers him is really an act of God's mercy and goodness. Up until this point, Moses has no intimate knowledge of who Yahweh is. More than likely, Jochebed and Amram probably told him about their father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But nonetheless, Moses did not have an inner experience or a first-hand experience with Yahweh. And little did he know that the road he took was not the road he chose. It was the road God chose for him. And sometimes God will allow us to make certain decisions as our own, only to get us to fulfill his divine will. God always looks at your situation and my situation, and he sees the bigger picture. God never limits himself to just one generation or one individual. Whenever God decides to put favor on your life, the favor ain't for you alone. The favor is for those who will come from you. You need to hear that today, because a lot of us think the blessings we get are exclusively for us. But when God blesses you, he's really blessing you with an entrustment that you will make sure that the next generation coming will also share in the blessing. And because most of us, if not many of us, are so selfish, God cannot and God will not entrust us certain blessings, because he knows we are filled with avarice, greed, and covetousness. So then there's some things you'll never and I'll never experience if we don't change our mind about our blessings as it relates to who they really belong to. I contend that blessings don't come to me, they come through me. So that if they're coming through me, they're coming through me for the next generation, not for me and my buddies and pals to have a good time at the casino live or at Melba's. But God is blessing me to bless my son and my son's son and whoever's going to come. The Bible says a wise man will leave even his grandchildren an inheritance, because this thing is about generation blessing. Give God some praise. It ain't about you and me. It's about generational blessings, because it's going to take generational blessings to break a generational curse. So then the only way I'm going to break the curse, I got to receive the blessing and have enough sense to pass the blessing on and be satisfied being a vessel holy unto the Lord, used to help bring about the generational blessing. Is there anybody here today willing to be used as a vessel to break some generational curses that the enemy has put on your life and put on your family? Come on, talk back to me.
Somebody ought to be the first in your family lineage to go to college. Somebody ought to be the first in your family to own a house. Everybody shouldn't be a lineage of renters. Somebody, oh come on here, in your family ought to open a business. Somebody ought to break the generational curse.
Moses, I'm gonna need you right long here to go through some stuff because I've got to purge you. And so God took Moses out of Egypt and he had to work with him in the desert because it's through the desert where God purges Moses of Egypt. It's one thing to have God call you out of Egypt. It's another thing to have God call Egypt out of you. So then, regardless where if I've still got Egypt in me, wherever I go, I'm still an Egyptian. But if I get Egypt out of me, if I can just get Egypt's nasty behavior, if I can just get Egyptian thought patterns out of my head, if I can stop thinking like the enemy and start thinking like a champion, if I can stop thinking like the idol God worshipers think and think like those who worship Yahweh, then I know I'm setting myself up for the most mighty breakthrough I'll ever experience. God's got to sometime get us out of where we are in order to begin to get the stuff that's in us out of us from the we inherited from where we are. You've heard the old saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't get the country out of the boy. Well, you can take the pig out of the pig pit, but you can't take the pig out the pig. I don't care if you put a tuck on him, he's still a pig if you don't change his character. He's a pig with a tuck on headed back to the mud. Moses, I had to allow these certain things to happen. I had to allow certain situations to happen in order to bring you from where you are to where you were to where you are right now. And I know where you are now doesn't look too pretty. I know where you are. Doesn't have the glitter and the glamour of Egypt, but just hold your hope, Moses. I'm about to do some things with you and in you that's going to bring about a revolution in your life. And so the Bible says that while he was in Jethro's employ, Moses traveling down the backside of Horeb, attending Jethro's flock. The Bible says that it was Moses who led the flock systematically, daily up and down that coast, up and down that wilderness place, up and down that plateau behind Mount Horeb. And God took note of Moses' behavior. And one thing he noted about Moses was not only was Moses a murderer on the run and a prince who had fallen from royalty, but Moses had something that most folk don't have. He had a work ethic. He didn't mind working. And I want to tell you, if you want to get something done, don't you call on folk who are sitters. You better call on folk who know how to serve and who don't mind serving. You got to call on people who will not make excuses as it relates to why they can't do what you want to do, but you need to call on people who will say, whatever it takes to get it done, I'm going to give it my best shot. When he watched how Moses worked and walked among the sheep, he wasn't too uppity. He didn't get all uppity, all sophisticated because he had Egyptian royalty in his blood based on adoption. He understood clear, I ain't in Egypt no more. I'm in Midian. I'm not a prince in Egypt anymore. I'm a shepherd. I'm a sheep herder. As a matter of fact, I'm not even a shepherd. I'm a under shepherd. I'm working for a chief shepherd. I'm here trying to earn my bread, and I'm trying to make sure I give the man the time that he has commanded of me to give him, that I might get the wages that I earned. The Bible says God saw Moses. Not only did he see him with a wonderful work ethic, but he also saw the fact that he was able to connect himself and identify with what he was doing. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible suggests that a little lamb strayed away, and the
story is told that Moses left his flock to go get the little lamb that had strayed away from the rest of the fold. And when God saw what Moses did as it relates to having compassion for the wandering sheep, God then signed him up. As a matter of fact, God finalized his application that he involuntarily filled out. I didn't say he voluntarily filled it out. He involuntarily, in other words, God drafted him. Is there anybody where you are because God drafted you? You didn't try to do anything to get where you are. You didn't try to get a click together and a committee together to put a word in for you. Somebody got your name from somewhere, and somebody said, this will be a good person, unbeknownst to you. And when you looked up, the phone call came, or the letter came and said, we need to talk with you because we heard some good things about you. It's a blessing to know that God got his eyes on you, and God is so impressed with your life that God himself will draft you, that God himself will pluck you up out of where you are. Listen to Jesus. You didn't choose me. He said, I chose you. You didn't call me. I called you. Is there anybody here who mama didn't call, who daddy didn't call, whom the preacher didn't call, who the glamour and the glitter didn't call? Is there anybody up in this place doing what you're doing because you know it's the call of God on your life, and you can't help but do what God has called you to do? That's why you always on time. That's why you always early. You can tell the folks they ain't been called to do anything because they come late. You gotta beg them to serve. But when you know God has called you and God has chosen you, you may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you'll say, whatever I am, I'm willing to cut what I can. If all I can cut is butter, then let me cut butter. Be the best butter cutter in the drawer. I get sick of these pseudo-celebrity people in church. And the reason why I say pseudo, I mean phony. Ain't nothing to them. Oh, I'm feeling knives in my back right now. But I'm going to do like Paul. Shake it off. God called him. God did it. God had him on the agenda. And God knew the day he would bring him to fruition. And the Bible says, while he was going behind the mountain, yes, the sacred mountain, the forbidden mountain, the place called Holy Horeb, the mountain where God dwells, because the Israelites, the ancient Hebrews rather, believed in a concept called animism, that God, yes, dwelled in sacred mountains and peculiar shaped stone and certain types of plants. Animism. Moses was told that that mountain is holy. You can't go on that mountain. Make sure you don't get too close to the border, because if you get too close to the border, you might experience something that you can't come back from. But the little lamb ran and escaped on the backside of Horeb. Nobody told the little lamb that there was a barrier there. Nobody told the little lamb that you're not supposed to get close to the mountain bottom. And in getting close, Moses, being the kind of person he was, accountable to his overseer, accountable to Horeb, accountable to Jethro, understood that he was responsible for that little lamb. To the end, when the lamb escaped, Moses forgot about what Jethro said. Moses forgot about the stories about the mountain, and he put his life at risk for that little lamb. You're not listening to me. He put his life on the line for a wandering, straying little lamb. When I look at Moses, I see a wonderful metaphor of our Lord, who laid down his life for my wandering soul. Come on and give him glory. And I thank God for people who he had placed in my life, who made special sacrifices on my behalf, just so I can live like I live right now, just so I can have what I have right now. I thank God for people in my past who were right there for me when I messed up, but they said, get up. I thank God for people who said you can still make it. It ain't over yet. I know you crossed the line, but God is able. Come on, shout glory. Ain't no need you sitting there looking at me like you never crossed the line. God said, Gilead, I know you've crossed the line, but I've sent my son just across the line for you to get you and bring you back to where you belong. Has he ever done that for you this afternoon? Has God ever brought you back from someplace you were supposed to come back from? You ought to look at your neighbor right now and tell her he's a rescuing God. And here's where we close. Oh, yeah, at this. Yeah, I'm looking at the clock just like you. I know you said he ain't gonna make it this week. The devil is a lie. You don't know who you playing with. Listen, you better ask somebody, don't you know? Yeah, yeah. Bible said when he got to the backside of Horeb, by the time he got to the backside looking for the lamb, he saw fire in a bush. Oh, come on, talk to me. He saw fire in a bush. In other words, he saw a natural phenomenon that had a supernatural, if you will, existence or characteristic. In other words, it was burning, but it was not consumed. That's supernatural. The fact that it was on fire is a natural occurrence. But the thing that troubled Moses was not that it was on fire, because bushes always caught on fire in the desert. But the thing that really grasped him and caused him the gravel was the fact that this thing is burning, but it ain't burnt up. It seemed like it won't burn out. It keeps on burning. It keeps on burning. And it looks like it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And he noticed as he turned, tell your neighbor, that's repentance and conversion. When he turned from his busyness, when he turned from his preoccupation, when he turned from his distraction, when he turned from his agenda, when he turned from his program, when he turned from his personal desire, when he turned from self, when he turned, I tell you, for everything that's not of God, the Bible says God called him by his name. Come on, shout glory. And you'll never hear God call your name if you ain't willing to turn from your mess. Oh, glory. Some of us, Brother Joe Strickland, will always be in the duty-bound crowd. Some of us will never be in the personal relationship crowd. Oh, saint, you to tell the pastor, don't put, when you pray, Reverend, don't put me in the duty-bound group. Just call my name. Ah, Moses! Moses, aren't you glad? He knows. He knows my name. And that's the kind of God we have. He'll call you by your name. You don't ever have to guess whether God's addressing you. He's not saying, hey boy, hey girl, hey woman, hey man. God knows your name. He'll call you by the name your mama gave you to prepare you for the name he's going to give you. Yeah, God, I can't help. I'm just a preacher. That's all. That's what he called me to do. Yeah. He'll use what is earthly and use what is common to do that which is supernatural. Called him Jacob, but he changed him to Israel. Called him Abram, but he changed his name to Abraham. You're not hearing me. He'll reach out to you right where you are, and he'll bring you to where you ought to be. Called him by his name and said to him, don't come any closer, because the place in which you are standing on now, it is holy ground. It's holy ground. It's holy ground. It is holy ground. It's now something that it wasn't before I showed up. And this is where I'm trying to get my exit, or at least get close to it. You don't ever have to worry about finding certain place to go pray or to have communion with God. Because wherever God begins to show up, he turns the profane into the sacred. Come on, shout glory. He said the ground is now holy because I am come down on it. Come on, shout glory. And that's all God wants to do. He wants to come down in the midst of your mess. He wants to come down in the midst of your misery. He wants to come down in the midst of your disappointment and say, now I've made it holy. I made your suffering holy. I made your struggle holy. I made your pain holy. 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 That's the only way it's going to work for your good. God's got to turn what you're going and going through and going in. He's got to turn it holy to make it work for your good. Holy suffering. Holy suffering. Holy pain. Holy pain is pain that is used to purge my character. Holy suffering is God's tool to purge my character. Holy leisure is what God uses to bring me close to him in intimacy. Have you ever sat down? Have you ever had holy leisure? Holy leisure? Holy leisure? That's where you don't do nothing but just sit there waiting on God, waiting on, just sitting there with your big mouth shut, just sitting there in holy leisure. Because you know in a minute he's about to show up in my holy leisure. Sanctum sanctorium. Where God shows up and turns your dirty sanctuary into a sanctified sanctuary. Come on, thank him today. Come on and thank him. Come on and give him glory. Hey! I know there's pain. I know there's suffering. That's why I showed up. Because I'm going to use you to deliver my people. I'm going to use you to set the captives free. I'm going to use you to turn somebody's life around. I'm going to use you to bring an end to somebody's misery. I'm going to use you to lift up somebody's bowed head. I'm going to use you to bring peace to a confused mind. I'm going to use you to bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to use you to liberate these people. Somebody throw your head back and say, Lord, use me. So God says, listen, I've come down after watching them suffer for over 400 years because they tell them their cries. Watch the language. And here's where I close. I'll pick it up next week. I guess we're scared to meet next week. Your cries, listen to this, has reached me. Your cries, tell them, I said, their cries have reached me. God said, Moses, their cry has reached me. He didn't say, I heard them. He said, they have reached me. In other words, by nature and by virtue of their cry, they have convinced me that what they're going through, I need to get in it to fix it. Come on, shout glory. And that's why I'm closing. And every time you cry, you ought to cry not so God can hear you. But I want to reach him. I want to reach his inner core so that when I cry, he'll understand. I ain't just crying to making a fuss, but I'm crying because I know what I'm into, I can't get out unless you come in and get me out. Come on, shout glory. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried. Somebody shout, Lord, I want to reach you for myself. Stand on your feet. L-
Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Y'all like saying, like y'all like somebody dropped you on a date. Look. Well, you've been dropped. Ain't the first time. You better go on and begin to praise him. You got to give God a reach him cry. Come on. Some of y'all got some stuff going on, and you ain't been crying with the cry of reaching him. You've been crying with the cry of complaining. You've been crying with the cry of impatience. But now it's time for you to cry out to him. And when you cry to reach him, you cry all day long. You cry all night long. You keep calling him, and you keep calling him, and you keep calling him until something wonderful has begun to happen. In other words, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Don't stop. You come on. I don't know who they talking about downtown. Don't stop. But I'm talking about God. Don't you stop, child of God. Come on. Till God gets the word that I ain't gonna stop crying until you start delivering. I ain't gonna stop crying until you start healing. I ain't gonna stop crying until you start saving. I ain't gonna stop crying, come on, until you start blessing. Come on and give him praise. Clap your hands right here. Anybody want anything from anybody really need something from God? Come on to the altar now. Come on. Don't you stop. Don't you ever get tired of coming to the... Come on and praise him. How we doing? We doing all right? Come on and praise him. Come on and give him... Come praise. Don't come here no longer. Come praise him. What's wrong with folk? They give up too easy. You already ready. You ready to listen to the devil's report tomorrow. They ain't gonna do nothing. They ain't gonna, no chain gonna come in. Ain't no, oh, that's your business. I every time I call him, I'm calling him because I'm believing that he's getting ready to do something better for me. Come on, when I left here today, I left here knowing something wonderful gonna happen at 5:00. I don't know what I'm going to preach, but I know you got a word somewhere. I know you got something to say through me. Oh, come on and give him glory. And I open my mouth unto the Lord, and I won't take it back. I will go. I shall go. See what the end going to be. Come on, give him glory. I know God will hear my prayer. I know God will attend to my cry, because my cry got blood all over it. I got the blood of Jesus all over my prayer, all over my cry. Hallelujah. And I heard him say, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And when he passes over your life, some stuff that's in your life is going to pass away. Come on here. I need God to pass over so the stuff that's messing with me can pass away. Come on. I need some stuff to pass away. I'm sick of this nightmare. I'm sick of this trauma. I'm sick of this trouble. God, will you please pass over so the stuff that's messing with me can pass away. Hallelujah. Every head bowed. Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're so good to me. You're so wonderful to me. You keep doing great things for me. You're such a glorious God. You're such an honorable God. So majestic. So merciful. Oh, yes, I thank you. Because you're the sweet love of my soul.
no good thing have you withheld from me. I want to thank you. Out of every affliction, you delivered me out of them all. I want to thank you. You have been there to defeat the demons and devils that have showed up on my journey to seek to destroy me. But God, I want to thank you. Oh, just for being merciful to me. And I give you glory because you've been merciful to this church. You've been merciful to this congregation. I want to thank you. In the darkest moments, in the most dismal of experiences, you stepped in just in time and declared, peace be still. I want to thank you because even now, right now as I stand, you have come down into our midst and into the midst of all that we're going through. And even now I see your hand of correction rectifying everything. Hallelujah, that sin, Satan, and self has messed up, oh God. But I want to thank you this evening because you're able. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We speak healing and health into the life of this people. God, breathe on your people. Breathe on their finances. Breathe on their families. Breathe on their faith. Breathe on the fellowship we're in. I know you got great things in store for us because you've already began to turn on the light to true greatness. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. I'm thanking you right now because you're making us a people of prayer. Hallelujah. A people of prayer, a people of participation, a people of praise and worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A people who are walking in victory to the end that we are more than conquerors. Ah, glory. Ah, thank you. And we give you praise. And we give you glory. Come on, thank him. Come on, thank him. Come on and thank him. Come on and thank him. Come on and thank him. Deliverer. 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 Deliver our children. Deliverer. Deliver our families. Deliverer. Deliver our communities. Deliverer. Deliverer. Strong deliverer. Strong deliverer. Be thou still, our strength and our shield. Do it right now. Do it right now. Do it right now. Hey, glory. Come on and thank him at this altar. Come on and give him praise. Give him the glory. 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 Somebody need to serve the devil a notice and tell the devil, your time for cutting up in my life has expired. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. 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 I speak life over this people. I speak deliverance over this people. I speak breakthrough over this people. Lord, baptize and fill with the Holy Ghost. 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 Hallelujah. And we clap our hands even the more. And we give him glory. As we make our way back to our seats, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Look somebody in the eye and tell them, be filled. Be baptized. Be delivered. Be set free. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him.
Come on, praise him.
Come on and give him glory. Oh, come on, praise him. All to Jesus. Come on, say it. Surrender. Oh, will you stand if we say that? Put me in E flat. To him I freely give. I will ever love. In his, yes, his presence. Daily live. I surrender all. Come on. I surrender all. Come on, say that. I surrender all. Come and say it like you mean it. All to Jesus. Oh. To thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. I just feel a prayer anointing on us tonight. As we prepare ourselves to give as unto the Lord. Amen. Every head bowed right momentarily. I take this prayer life serious. Listen to me. God is kind to all of us. I'm gonna say it again. God is kind. And as we give in this offering, I can't speak presumptuous because I don't know what God's gonna do. But I do know he rewards cheerful giving. Praise him. I do know he honors faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. I do know that. I can't promise you, because God ain't spoke that into my spirit, other than the fact that if you give it, he'll release it into your life. I don't know how many foes he's going to send. All I know, he promised, if you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I want you right now to ask God what you should give in this offering. And I don't want you to play with it. And I want you to listen to God speak. Because he knows the need of the hour. Hallelujah. He knows the need of the hour. And God, I want to be a participant in kingdom building. I want to be a participant, and I want to be a partner in the work of ministry. Because I believe this is fertile ground right here in harvest. I just believe it. And I hope and pray that you share my conviction. That I just believe God is doing an unusual work in this church. I can sense his presence in this place. Thank you, Jesus. I can sense his hand of anointing on his servant. Got nothing to do with my name, nothing to do with my personality, nothing to do with my family tree. Has everything to do with the person and power of the Holy Ghost. I didn't sign up for this. He signed me up. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Lord, teach us how to give and to give liberally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we ask you now as we command the blessing that you turn somebody's finances around, even now, as they trust you. With whatever they're going to give, as they trust you. Whatever they're going to give, if they trust you, you promise to bless. You promise to do some things. You promise to break loose.
as they trust you. It's not about the money. It's about your, they're trusting you with it. God, we thank you right now. God, I bind the demon of stinginess and selfishness. You said, he that soweth abundantly shall reap abundantly. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Father, in Jesus' name, this is good ground. This is fertile ground. You're doing some wonderful things, and yet does not appear what we shall be. But God, I got this sneaky suspicion that you're up to something wonderful in the life of this church. And as we give, we're tearing down some walls that Satan has put up. As we give, we're tearing down some stuff that the enemy has, tearing up some stuff that the enemy has laid down in our path. As we give tonight, we are giving, God, that you might move in a certain area of our life. And as we give, help us to name that seed to, for what we desire and need you to do. In Jesus' name, you're the God who makes covenant and keepeth covenant. You've never broke a promise. You never broke a covenant. What you said, you did. And I thank you. Because God, you never let us down. Help us to give sacrificially. Get out of self. Hallelujah. Give without anybody coercing us. Give out of the spirit of love, gratitude, and obedience. Faith makes the difference. God, give, help us to give sacrificially. Your servant David said he would not offer anything to the Lord that cost him nothing. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray as David prayed in 2 Chronicles 29. Give this people a willing heart and a giving spirit in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you tonight. And we give you glory. God, we declare deliverance. We declare healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help us in our giving to reflect our sincerity and our seriousness. Hallelujah. Our love and our reverence to you. And we shout glory. And we shout glory. Come on, and we shout glory. Come on, let's shout glory. Ah, God. God, we have received from you. We have already received from you. And now, God, we thank you. Through our giving, we show our gratitude. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, bring your offering. You ain't got to come in no certain row. Come now, give liberally. Somebody, I'm going to sow 100. I'm going to sow 50. I'm going to sow 20. Whatever it is, 10, 5, whatever. If you got it, give it. Loose it and watch God do his thing. Hallelujah. Come on, give, 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 give. Give like you never given before. Give unconventional giving. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As you make your way through the giving, make your way straight out the door. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I surrender. Surrender. Hey, I surrender.